It's KJZZ's Here and Now in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. The U.S. sent soldiers into Afghanistan and Iraq about 15 years ago, and since then, the so-called Arab Spring occurred with dramatic leadership changes in places like Egypt and Libya. Meanwhile, the civil war in Syria rages on. Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist Lindsay Addario has been on the ground in many of those places, documenting the stories through her camera lens. She and colleagues were even kidnapped in Libya, but she continues to travel to dangerous locales for her job. As the title of her autobiography plainly put it, it's what I do. Lindsay Addario is in the Valley as part of the National Geographic Speaker Series at Mesa Arts Center, and her presentation begins tonight at 7:30, and she is with me now. Lindsay, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So what got you started as a journalist?
So, let's see, I started photographing when I was about 12 years old, and I never really took it seriously. I thought it could only be a hobby, and I wasn't familiar with other photojournalists as a young woman. And I studied international relations and Italian at University of Wisconsin, and after graduating, all I wanted to do was photograph. So I moved to Argentina to study Spanish and try to photograph. And there I sort of became aware of pictures in the newspaper. And that's when I realized that photojournalism was this perfect marriage between photography and telling stories.
And did you have that feeling inside at an early age, knowing that the mundane aspects of a 9-to-5 job or something were not going to work for you?
You know, I come from a really unconventional family. I was raised by hairdressers. We're four sisters. We're all artists. We're all creative. And our parents always said to us, do what you love. Do what makes you happy. Don't worry about money. The money will come. And so, you know, having those, having their voice in my ear all growing up, I knew I would never do something very conventional. Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard this a lot. I'm really struck by the dangerous places that you've been. And I know with what you do, I think there are some people who wonder, is there some kind of adrenaline rush? Is this? And obviously, in your case, that's not why you do it. But how do you get yourself ready, physically and mentally, to have gone back to places, even though you know your job is important, to keep doing that over and over again? Is there a particular sense of having to steel yourself, or is this just your personality, your character?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I mean, it's definitely my personality, my character. I'm very driven and very dedicated, and sometimes to a point where I am tortured by my own dedication. I think a lot of people ask me, are you fearless? Is it that you're so fearless that you can go to these places? And that, to me, is not at all the case. In fact, when I'm preparing to go to a war zone or to a place where I know my life will be in danger, I'm overcome with fear. I mean, I'm often paralyzed by that fear as I'm packing, as I'm preparing my things to go. But I have to sort of manage that. I have to think about, why am I scared? What is that grounded in? What are the actual risks of, in the place that I'm going? And how do I manage that? So for me, it's really about recognizing the fear, recognizing why I'm going, identifying the fact that I feel I need to cover this story for X reason. And so I'm talking myself through that process.
And in order to do your job as well as you have, there has to be a certain level of freedom. But in doing that, do you somehow give up some of your safety? Because obviously, I mean, I presume you're not going to say, or the New York Times or National Geographic is not going to say to the military, listen, you need to make sure Lindsay is protected here. I mean, because that's obviously not how things work. So how do you balance the idea of getting the story, telling the important stories, with thinking about your safety, your freedom, everything else?
I mean, that's obviously the hardest balance to achieve, because the best stories that I've ever done are generally the most dangerous and where I've taken extraordinary risks. And so I think it's not to advocate being reckless, but certainly there are calculated risks that I can take and take with my colleagues. And a lot of that has to do with talking through a story, speaking with the translator, the fixer, who is the local journalist on the ground or whoever we're working with. Also talking with other colleagues who might have done similar stories and figuring out, is it completely reckless or is there a way to do this safely? I'm watching as, you know, on the plane here, I was reading all about Mosul and the invasion into Mosul. And of course, I'm tortured that I'm not there. You know, that's a story that over the last 16 years, I would have been right there on the front lines and I'm not. So I'm looking at my colleagues' work. I'm looking at where they're positioned. I'm trying to figure out, you know, where I would be in that equation.
Now, is the story for you about telling the important story in the bigger sense, the macro sense of what's going on as far as how villages are affected, how natives are affected, whatever it may be in a particular country? Or are you looking to find that sort of personal story in the middle of it, that one person, that one family who's affected? What sort of photos do you think tell the story the best?
So I think it's a combination. I think obviously in some, like a huge story like the invasion of Mosul, it obviously the bigger picture is very important. It's very important to show sort of the push towards the city. But then my forte, sort of what I'm best at, is getting those very personal, intimate stories. So, of course, I would be looking for men and women, or particularly women and children who have fled recently, who are fleeing from these villages, what experiences they've had under ISIS's regime. So I think the personal stories are really the stories that affect the readers and the viewers back here and back home.
And how do you gain the trust of the individual sort of normal folks you're meeting?
It depends. I mean, some people understand the value of journalism and understand that journalists are very important to carry their message to the rest of the world. And so those are sort of the easy cases. In situations where people are more skeptical of journalists, where they're a bit more guarded, it takes time. I mean, I have to really sit down, explain who I am, why I want their confidence, why I think it's important to tell their story, and I have to hope that they believe me.
And as an American, how does that affect it?
It's tough. I mean, I work mostly in the Middle East and Africa, and a lot of people have been very disillusioned by U.S. foreign policy overseas and in the countries in which I work. And so I have to say, look, I'm here to tell your story. I'm not, you know, I don't work for the government. I'm not a proponent of our foreign policy. I'm strictly a messenger. I'm a journalist.
And how about being a woman?
It's a lot of people ask me, is it a hindrance being a woman? No, absolutely not. I think it's a great benefit. It's helped me a lot because my gender gives me access to men and women. And so, you know, the only time that it was difficult or it has been difficult being a woman were when I was embedded with the military, the U.S. military, in very tough places. And I'm 5'1". If I were jumping irrigation ditches or having to climb, you know, mountains 7,000 feet for hours at a time, I had to be very physically prepared for that.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist Lindsay Addario. She's in the Valley as part of the National Geographic Speaker Series at Mesa Arts Center. Her presentation begins tonight at 7:30. She also has an autobiography called It's What I Do. And let me jump ahead to the lighter question of the conversation, which is that Steven Spielberg, Jennifer Lawrence, do those names mean anything to you?
So my book, It's What I Do, has been optioned by Warner Brothers. And right now, Steven Spielberg and Jennifer Lawrence, Spielberg will direct, and Jennifer Lawrence is slated to play me. Yeah.
Okay. Now, based on the other excitement you've had in your life, this must be sort of but how exciting is that?
No. I mean, I'm a really pragmatic person. It's very exciting. Of course, it's incredibly flattering. I wrote this book for many different reasons. One, first and foremost, because after I had been released from captivity in Libya, where I was held for a week, I felt like I needed to sort of sit down and revisit all the experiences I had gone through in the previous decade and put some thought into those experiences, because I'm a person who's always moving full speed ahead. And so I wrote the memoir partially sort of as therapy, and just because I had a book deal and it was fun. Actually, it was fun to be home. But I didn't really expect anyone to read it. So, you know, suddenly it became a New York Times bestseller and it was optioned by Warner Brothers. And so it's incredibly flattering. I mean, I think Hollywood reaches an audience that journalism doesn't always reach. And so it's very exciting.
You mentioned the kidnapping in Libya. Is it okay, considering the line of work you are in, for people who love you to worry about you? Or do you say, I don't need that kind of burden, you know who I am, you love me for this reason?
I mean, of course it's okay. I worry about my friends who are war correspondents. You know, when I'm not in a place, I'm terrified for my friends. I'm always scared that I'll be getting that call in the middle of the night from one of my editors saying, you know, something has happened to X or Y. And so, you know, I think, of course, my family and loved ones will worry about me, but I wish they wouldn't. You know, I hate to put that burden on them. And so I often don't tell people where I'm going until I'm back. I definitely don't tell my parents anymore.
What do you think the average American may be missing, even with the coverage they've seen of yours or the New York Times or other national, international outlets, about what goes on in the Middle East and how the U.S. relates or how the U.S. is seen there?
I think a lot of people, what happens in a lot of these war zones, and I am a culprit of this as well, is that we go directly to the center of the conflict. And I, as a photographer, I go to the most dramatic scenes. I'm covering the front line. I'm covering, you know, I try to cover how war affects civilians. But at the same time, those are the most dramatic images and also the heart of the story. I think it's also important to cover sort of the daily life and when nothing's really happening. I mean, in every war zone, there's also a section of the city generally where life goes on. I think what we're missing in the U.S. as readers, as consumers of news, is the incredibly positive side of the Middle East. I mean, you know, I've been kidnapped twice. I've been kidnapped in Iraq. I've been kidnapped in Libya. But I have also been afforded the most incredible hospitality in the Middle East. People have opened their homes to me. They've fed me. They've given me shelter. They have been wonderful. And so I think it's also important to recognize that.
And Lindsay, briefly to close, when you're doing interviews like this or when you're at home, you said you enjoyed writing the book, but do you still have that? Do you always sort of have that wanderlust ready to go out to find that story, as you mentioned?
You know, I do and I don't. I think I have a son who's almost 5 years old, so I still am on the road all the time. But when I'm home, I have to really be present for him. And so I try to just make the most out of the days I'm home and enjoy myself.
Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist Lindsay Addario is in the Valley as part of the National Geographic Speaker Series at Mesa Arts Center tonight at 7:30. Real pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.